Lecture.
Sheikh Asad Ja'fari.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Lessons from the life of Nabi Musa alayhi salam has been our ongoing topic. Alhamdulillah, we continue to get through this amazing story of Nabi Musa inside the Quran. We now get to a point in the story now where, because now for a while now, Fir'aun now is quiet, he's busy, you know, he's kind of leaving Musa the way he is, because he's stuck, he doesn't know what to do, right? If he kills the man, there's a rebellion, there's a revolution. You know, if he continues again to confront him and prove him wrong, he'll be, of course, defeated like he was on the day of the festival. So they continue now to build their community, Nabi Musa does, and the Bani Israel. The followers are getting more in numbers. The mission is expanding. And now Fir'aun now begins to attempt not to once again handle Musa. So he has a plan. He comes he brings his inner circle in together. Says, look, we can't let these things happen the way they're happening. Musa is getting bigger, and his following is getting bigger. We have to squash this, right? And so they talk about ways to do it. And one thing that Fir'aun says, well, let's resort back to killing their newborn boy so that it doesn't expand. It stays where it is. Haman was his waswasa, his right-hand man, that guy who keeps whispering in his ear, who's caused him so many problems. And you'll see in tonight's episode how many of these problems that come about now in Fir'aun is because of him. He says, that's not enough. Killing the newborn boys isn't enough. You need to collect all of them, imprison them, and then in the process, weaken Musa's stance. Okay, so go there, get them one by one, all the men, separate them from the families, imprison them, and destroy this mission once and for all. Now, news of Fir'aun's newfound strategy and newfound commitment now gets back to the Bani Israel tribe. These people now, Israelites, who are with Musa. And they begin to complain. They say, look, Musa, you know, we were tormented before you arrived, and now once again we'll be tormented after you arrive. Like, what is this? Like, what is the difference between you now? We're going to, you know, Fir'aun now is coming back for us again. And that's when Musa, of course, prays to Allah. Like, to once again, you know, like give them a chance. Pray for, you know, the release of the clutches of Fir'aun. Pray for their protection. God then again shows mercy on the Bani Israel tribe. Remember, this is the same tribe in Surah Baqarah, in about the verses of 40 to 50, around that number, Allah says, let me remind you of what I've done for you. And we'll see as we get through the story. How does Allah now show another favor on the Bani Israel and the Israelites? He then now inflicts 7 different calamities on the people of Egypt and on Fir'aun. How many? 7. 7 different calamities. I don't have time to go through all of them. It's enough to know that the first thing that fell upon the Egyptians and all of Egypt, even the Israelites, were continuous droughts. Droughts, okay? The lack of rainfall. So the water in the Nile would dry up. They relied heavily for their crops in the water. There was no water. They would go to Fir'aun and say, look, you know, make it rain. You're the God. Right? He says, don't worry. And they reminded him, look, you are the one that said on the day of the festival that the rivers of Egypt run beneath me. They reminded them that because they're getting frustrated now. There's been days, there's no water. He says, don't worry. All of this is according to my plan. Okay? Don't worry about it. Okay? You will have your water and a good time. There is my wisdom behind all of this. Meanwhile, of course, he himself is sweating inside. It gets to the point where now he begins to hear the confidence and the himmat and the strength of the people of Egypt. They actually say, look, if you don't bring about rain, we are forced now to believe in a different God. Fir'aun now says, okay, let's calm down. So this is one portion of the story that I really want you guys to understand. It's an incredible portion of the story. Pharaoh now takes them to the bank of the Nile. It's dried up naturally from the drought. He says, you guys go over there on that side, okay? I'll tell you what to do in terms of instructions. We'll get this water again. As they move to the other side of the Nile River, Pharaoh now being alone, he goes behind a bush or behind some sort of obstacle. He gets down on his hands. This is in Bahar, by the way. He goes on his hands and knees and rubs his cheek against the dirt. Who does Pharaoh? Against the dirt. Puts his finger in the sky. Incredible moment. In the sky, all by himself, no one to see him. Pharaoh's cheek, his own cheek in the dirt, up in the sky. He says, Lord, I know that you're the only one that can bring down rain. They think it's me. He actually asks God to help him bring down the rain for his people. Who does Pharaoh? Before he could lift his head off of the sand, he could hear the people of Egypt that came with him to the Nile begin to cheer. Why? It began to rain, torrential rainfall. They looked at him, once again restored belief in Pharaoh as their God. I don't know, picturing Pharaoh on the ground, rubbing his cheek on the dirt, looking up, that inner belief now, you can hide it all you want, eventually it comes out. It reminds me of that man who approaches Imam Sadiq, alayhi salatu wasalam, and he says, how can you prove to me that God exists? Because you're in the middle of the ocean, on your boat, severe weather hits, you're about to drown. That one last hope you cling on to for life, that one voice that you think, you know what, there's no way that this voice or this entity won't help me. That last resort is God. Pharaoh's desperate. They've threatened now. We're going to leave your kingdom and go to other gods if you don't get this rain. He then turns to the inner core God that he truly believed in, but his ego, his desire, his arrogance wouldn't let him submit to that God. When things were desperate, he reached down deep down, actually rubbed his cheek on the dirt, the ultimate sign of a disgraceful slave. And God listened to his du'as, man. God listened to Fir'aun's du'as. Who are you and I? Who are you, the believers, mashallah, in the eyes of Allah, if God could relieve Fir'aun of his du'as? That moment to me was incredible. Okay, but again, the drought would come, the drought will leave. The drought will come, the drought will leave. The second calamity were hailstorms. Massive hailstorms. Now these calamities, and again, there are some are mentioned in Bahar, some are mentioned in the Quran. We'll go through the verses tonight as well. These are actually also mentioned in the Bible. The Bible refers to others, but the Quran now, according to the Hadith and Quran, there are seven major calamities on the people of Egypt. The second and to the seventh only hit the people of Egypt. The people, the Israelites were denied or were protected from the calamity. The second calamity were hailstorms. Massive hailstorms in Egypt now would continue to just rain pour down onto the people of Egypt now. To the point where Musa sends a message to Pharaoh, I could end all this. Let the Bani Israel and me and my people go. Let it go. The storm will stop, the storm will end. The storm will stop, the storm will end. People are getting restless and need, what's happening? You're the God, you're the God. So then he makes a verbal agreement with Musa. Says, and he refers to him, hey, Sahir, hey, magician, come here. Right? If you can make all this end, this hailstorm end, right, I'll let your people go. Musa has a dua with Allah and the rain stops. But Haman now, enter Haman. Oh, Haman, that wicked, wicked Haman. Comes and says, what are you doing, Pharaoh? You're going to give a little bit of this freedom to him. He's going to take that freedom and come back and topple you and seize control of Egypt. Don't do it. So what does Pharaoh do? Pharaoh now retreats. Right? Empty promises. Right? He's given relief now. Hailstorm stops. He's given relief now. Think about what you're doing now. I'm giving you momentarily relief through my Lord, Musa says. Right? You hold on to that promise and everything will be gone. He says, sure, no problem. Backtracks on his promise, doesn't keep his promise. The third calamity hits. What's the third calamity? Beetles. Locusts. Locusts are like grasshopper-like animals. Okay? So they say that Musa grabbed his staff, you know, pointed to the east, pointed to the west. From every corner of the earth now, these locusts, these grasshoppers, attack Egypt, attack their crops, attack their homes, just make life very difficult. Their crops are destroyed, right? Again, Musa says, let my people go, I'll stop this. He said, okay, no problem. He's given relief. He backtracks, Haman in his ear. The next calamity are beetles. Beetles come down onto Egypt, destroyed the crops. Again, let my people go. Again, he goes, yes, sure. Haman says no. He backtracks. A fourth calamity now comes in the form of frogs. God says to Musa, take your staff and strike the Nile and call upon every frog from every corner of anywhere. Frogs now come. Frogs, guys, come and they begin to attack the city, attack the homes, attack the crops, attack everything. Egypt now is seized by frogs. Frogs. Musa says, you ready to let my people go? He says, yes, yes, I'm ready. Get rid of the frogs. Frogs are gone. Temporary relief. He backtracks again. After frogs, it's blood. The water in the Nile turned into blood. Anytime they would go to get water from the river to drink with or to grow their crops with, they would see blood. Blood. Not the Israelites, only the Egyptians. The Israelites would go to the water. That water would become water for them, pure, beautiful water. But when an Egyptian went for the water, it became blood. Are you ready now? I'm ready now. He backtracks. And then the last one is this plague on the livestock. Okay, destroys the livestock altogether. Okay, that was Pharaoh's most frustrating boiling point. Okay, all these calamities, understanding that, you know what, Musa now with each calamity is gaining more control over me. I'm tired. I'm getting frustrated. So what does he do now? He says, I'm done now. I'm done. Summons Musa to his courtyard. There's his entourage, his boys around him, Pharaoh's, and says that now I'm going to what? I'm going to kill this man, meaning Musa. I'm going to kill him now. I have no choice. Enough is enough. I'm going to slay Musa in front of all you guys. You're going to watch as he pleads and screams out to his Lord, and nothing will happen but the fact that I will slay him. At that moment, Nabi Musa now has a dua. Allah, protect me from the one who is unjust. Right? Protect me from the one who has takabbur. Right? And protect him from what he doesn't know that's going to happen to him. All in the Quran now. Okay? So the stage is set now. To the point where the books even say that Pharaoh had his sword in his hand, ready to what? Ready to chop off Musa's head. At that moment, enter who? Enter Ezekiel. Remember Ezekiel? From episode 2 or 3 from the season? You know, sometimes they bring back those characters. You're like, oh man, where was this guy the whole time? He was quiet the entire time. He was that individual, if you remember, that individual, that when Musa killed that Egyptian by mistake, and the second Egyptian then realized that Musa killed him. He went to Pharaoh and said, Pharaoh, Musa. Musa is the one that killed that Egyptian. Find him, and then we're going to kill him. Hizqiel was the one that found Musa and Musa, leave Egypt. And he ended up going to Midian. That was that individual. I referred to him as what? Mu'min Ali Fir'aun, the believer who hid his belief of God inside, who detested Fir'aun, but he was working within Fir'aun. This entire time, from the day of the festival to all these calamities, Hizqiel was quiet. But now he's watching, moments away from being slaughtered. He says to Pharaoh, Pharaoh, you're going to kill a man who claims to be a messenger of God? And who has shown you proof time and time again of his own prophecy, his own prophethood, and the miracle of his Lord? You're going to kill a man like that? There's repercussions. And then very logically he says to Pharaoh, Pharaoh, fine. Let's say he's a liar. Let's say everything he has said so far is a lie. That's going to come back and haunt him. But if he's truthful, then you become the liar. And if you kill a truthful man, then this lie that you're living will come back and haunt you. Okay? The way the books describe Pharaoh's state at that moment, it's almost as if he was kind of like relieved that somebody stopped him. He never wanted to kill Musa. Never wanted to kill Musa. You know, way back when, you know, when Musa and Harun first entered the palace of Pharaoh, do you remember that? And he threw down the staff and he showed the white hand. At that moment, he could have killed him, but he didn't. In fact, this whole day of festival idea, for some reason, was planned when Musa could have been killed. But for some reason, he went through so much just to avoid killing Nabi Musa. Even at that moment, he stopped immediately and had a one-on-one talk with Hilkiel. Based on that conversation, Fir'aun realized that killing him was a mistake. He let him go. Meanwhile, the one event that occurs during this time now, because right now, Fir'aun is going crazy. Okay? He's watching calamity after calamity. Now, after these seven calamities, from the drought to the hailstorm to the beetles to the grasshoppers to the frogs to the blood to everything now, Egypt is pretty much destroyed. Okay? He has a handful of people left around him. Okay, people are just trying to make ends meet. This was Egypt, right? I mean, it was a city of like it was just a very luxurious place for Fir'aun. Everything was destroyed. In the meantime now, who we haven't heard from in a while is Fir'aun's wife, Bibi Asiya. Where has she been this whole time? Again, in this episode, we enter Asiya. Okay? So we heard about Hizkiel. And by the way, Hizkiel now begins now his slow but sure tabligh in small groups inside Egypt after this. Because he got a little bit of him. But now for the first time, he exposed a little bit of his belief. A little bit. Began now to talk to the Egyptians bit by bit here and there. But where was Bibi Asiya? They say that Fir'aun came home one day, and there's a story about a hairdresser. I don't want to go down that route, right? There was, you know, and there's conflicting reports here. One report is that after the day of the festival, when the serpent now, when Musa's serpent swallowed the other snakes, Asiya at that moment when Fir'aun came home, she announced her iman towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not towards Fir'aun. That's one report. Another report is this is the moment now. When she's watching Fir'aun go crazy, he's killing people for no reason. You know, there was a, for example, quickly, you know, Sheikh Rizwan Astur in his book reports this from Bihar that, you know, there is a hairdresser who would come and style up his daughter's hair, found out that she was a believer in Musa's Lord. He killed her on the spot. On the spot. Inside Bibi Asiya's palace. She sees this and she goes, that's it, I'm done. That was the straw that broke the camel's back. I'm done now. I'm done. What's wrong with you? I've always believed in that. He said, you know what? You're as crazy as that slave is that you raised. And she said that he's not a slave. He's a prophet of God. I believe in him. That was the moment that he became so mad with power that he killed Bibi Asiya. This is the moment now where she was tortured and she was shahida. And the way that, you know, it's a very gruesome way that he killed her. I don't want to go down that route. But that's the moment now where she calls out to Allah. In Surah Tahrim now, Surah 66, a beautiful verse, where her dua is very, very famous. And Allah uses it as an example. وَضَرَبَ اللَّهُ مَثَلُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَمْرَأَةَ فِرْعَوْنَ Allah has set forth an example of those who believe of the wife of Fir'aun. Oh Allah, please build a bait for me, عِنْدَكَ, close to you. And free me from Fir'aun and the people. And free me from thee. From any sort of people of oppression, right? At that moment then, as he is torturing her to death, she begins to smile, Bahar says. Because she realizes that now I am just moments away from being in that Jannah that I always wanted. Now why did Allah use her dua as an example in Surah Tahrim? Because to be surrounded by Fir'aun and Fir'auniyat and not give in to Fir'aun and Fir'auniyat is enough for us to know that God says she has the himmah to ask for such a beautiful dua that I don't just want heaven, I want a heaven that is beside you, indaka, close to you, Allah. And the reason why Allah uses that as a verse in the Quran is for you and I. We're surrounded by Fir'auniyat today. For us to now protect our deen and hold on to our iman, not being affected by the Fir'aun in today's world, that means that we also will have the audacity and the hope to ask Allah, I don't want heaven, I want a house in heaven beside you. You're my neighbor in heaven. Okay? And then the next thing that Nabi Musa is asking, sorry, that Fir'aun is asking now, is all of the people of Egypt and those Israelites who are still his slaves, there are still some people who haven't followed Musa, I want you to build me the highest of towers. I want to spy what Musa is doing. I want it so high I can see what Musa and his people are doing. Okay? High towers have begun to build. All of Egypt now is consumed with this project. Fir'aun is consumed with this project. And now comes the ideal time. And Allah says, this is the moment now to Musa. You and Harun, take the Israelites and leave Egypt. Leave Egypt in the middle of the night. He's busy building his towers. The people of Egypt are busy building those towers. You are now able to now leave and go towards the promised land. And this is now where I want to inch closer and closer to that moment now of the parting of the sea. And I want to keep that moment for the bonus episode that's going to happen. Tonight we will officially end this episode here now, right here. But the bonus episode, the bonus coverage, is that we're going to get not only to the moment of the parting of the sea, but actually what happens and how the sea parts. And at that moment, what are the favors Allah shows the Bani Israel, and the ultimate demise of Fir'aun now occurs. And now they walk towards their new promised land. Fir'aun now is obsessed with Musa. Musa has seen calamity after calamity befallen Egypt. Egypt is a ruins now. He's building these massive towers to overlook. Now the command comes to slowly but surely take your 700,000 Israelites, the books say, and make your way out of Egypt. And they begin now to plan their route out of Egypt. And that route and that journey out of Egypt is not an easy one. We'll save that for the bonus episode, inshallah. Let's come to the verses of the Quran. So let's go to Surah A'raf. Surah A'raf is the seventh chapter of the Quran, verses 127 to 135. 127 to 135. Okay, this is now where Fir'aun and his people now begin to think about the fact that, look, we can't let things go the way they're going. We have to revisit the idea of destroying Musa and his people. Okay. So verse number 127 of chapter number 7. So 7:127. It says, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. وَقَالَ الْمَلَأُ مِنْ قَوْمِ فِرْعَوْنَ. Right? The chiefs of Fir'aun's people had said, what's going on? Are you going to leave Musa and his people to make mischief in the land? I mean, they're doing what they're getting bigger and bigger and bigger to forsake you and your God. لِيُفْسِدُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ وَيَذَرَكَ وَآلِحَاتِكَ. Your gods, right? That's when he says, no. What we'll do is we will slay their sons and spare their women, just like we did when Musa was born. And surely we are masters over them. Let's not be fooled. We are still within فَوْقَهُمْ قَاهِرُونَ. We have power over them still. Okay, and then when news spread to the people to the followers of Musa that this is what's going to happen, Fir'aun is now coming after them. They complain to Musa that we are now in the exact same position again, being oppressed by Fir'aun. So before you, after you, with you, without you, we're in the exact same boat. What was the point of all this? Why? I mean, what did you bring to the table? And that's when verse number 28, Musa says to his people, you are to ask Allah now. Ask help from Allah, right? Ask Allah for patience, right? إِنَّ الْأَرْضَ لِلَّهِ يُرِيثُهَا مَنْ يَشَاءُ مِنْ عِبَادِهِ. Beautiful verse. Surely the land is Allah's, right? He causes such of his servants to inherit it as he pleases. And the end is for those what? وَالْعَاقِبَةُ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. The end is for those who are pious. This is now your piety is being tested. Up until now, some of them have been a very, very dangerous, a difficult group to work with. Even now, they're complaining. It goes, be patient with your Lord. He's brought you this far. He'll keep, do not lose sight of your taqwa and your taqwa alone. This is what, and now, of course, in verse number 129, they start to complain that we have been persecuted before you came to us and since you have come to us. He says, it may be that your Lord will destroy your enemy and make you rulers. Just be patient. It could be, he says. قَالَ عَسَى رَبُّكُمْ أَنْ يُخْلِكُمْ عَضُوَكُمْ. Maybe he might destroy your enemies. Right? وَيَسْتَخْلِفَاكُمْ فِي الْأَرْضِ. He might make you people who actually inherit this land and make rulers of this land. فَيَنْظُرَ كَيْفَ تَعْمَلُونَ. Then he'll see how grateful you are. Right? He'll see how grateful you are. Who knows? Let's be patient. Let's have belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay? And then that's when these calamities hits. Verses 130, 131, I think 132, they all start to describe one by one these calamities by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And certainly, verse number 130, Surah Al-Araf, and certainly we overtook Fir'aun's people with droughts and the diminishing of their fruits. Why? To remind them, لَعَلَّهُمْ يَذَكَّرُونَ. How much are you going to deny? You're seeing the signs in front of you. The biggest sign is the day of the festival. Musa's staff and serpent. Musa's character. This drought, that calamity, everything. But still, you're not mindful. Right? But the problem is, and again, 131 is describes the people of Egypt. When good befell upon them, that this is due to us. When evil afflicted them, they attribute it to the ill luck of Musa and those with him. That this is their magician, their magic. This is them causing problems for us. Nothing that we're doing. Right? Surely their evil fortune is only from Allah, but most of them don't understand that. أَكْفَرِهُمْ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ. They don't even understand what's going on. They're so oblivious. Verse number 132, and they said, whatever sign you may bring to us to charm us with it, we will not believe in you. This is now Fir'aun and his people telling Musa now, we refuse to believe in your magic. Don't even try all that. Okay. And that's when, in verse number 133, it talks about the various calamities, right? Therefore, we sent upon them widespread death. And the locusts, and the lice. The lice here is one tradition, another one is the beetles, and the frog, and the blood. I described all that already for you guys. Clear signs, they say. But they behaved haughtily. They were just full of themselves. Takabur, ego. And they were guilty people. How much more signs do you want them? Do you want? And finally, when the plague fell upon them, the last calamity, 134, the plague fell upon them, that's when they said to Musa, fine, Musa, pray for us to your Lord. Okay? Now this is Fir'aun now talking. Pray to us for your Lord, as he has promised with you. If you remove the plague from us, we will certainly believe in you and will certainly send you away with the children of Israel. You'll be free to go. Just remove all these calamities. Please stop this plague. Stop all this. Egypt is ruined. I'm done. But the Quran says in verse number 135, the last verses from Surah Al-Araf, when we removed the plague from them till a term which they should attain, lo, they did what? They broke their promise. They resorted back to their ways. Seven different calamities of monumental proportions. Destroying the city, but still that ego of Fir'aun wouldn't allow him. Being surrounded with the wrong people, Haman being a horrible advisor, continued to convince him that you need to now remain in power and don't give this much power to Musa. The last set of verses really for tonight is from Surah Ghafir. Surah Ghafir is the 40th chapter of the Quran. Let's take a moment, please, all of you with your families, get there. 40th chapter of the Quran. Surah Ghafir, verses 26 to 29. Just four verses, inshallah, and then Iltimas Dua. This is now where that talk between Fir'aun and Hizqil, that man of hidden belief that spared Musa once, gave him the inside scoop. Look, they know you killed the Egyptian. They're going to come arrest you and kill you. If I were you, I would leave Egypt. He's back in the story now. Makes a surprise return. Verse 26. of Surah Ghafir. Surah Ghafir, verse number 26. And Fir'aun said, let me alone now, that I may kill Musa. I'm done. That's it. I've seen everything. I've tried to negotiate, talk, do everything, day of festival. I'm done now. I'm just going to do what I do best and kill the man. Let him call upon his Lord. Right? Let him do that. Okay? I fear that he will change a religion or that he will make mischief to appear in the land. Okay? If things keep going, I'm going to lose everything. From my power to my religion, to your religion, to Egypt in general. The best thing is to kill the man. No one can stop me. Then, of course, Musa now says his dua in verse number 27. Like I had described to all you guys, right? وَقَالَ مُوسَىٰ إِنِّي عُوذَتُ بِرَبِّي وَرَبِّكُمْ مِنْ كُلِّ مُتَكَبِّرٍ O Allah, I surely take refuge with my Lord and your Lord. Again, he keeps reminding that to Fir'aun. It's your Lord too. It's your Lord too. Right? From every proud one. Right? لَا يُؤْمِنُ بِيَوْمِ الْحِسَابِ From that proud one who doesn't believe in the day of accountability. Meaning what? You can kill me, but you'll be held accountable. That's when Hizqil enters the conversation. And look at the way the Quran describes this man. In verse 28 of Surah Ghafir. وَقَالَ رَجُلٌ مُؤْمِنٌ مِنْ آلِ فِرْعَوْنَ A believer amongst the people of Fir'aun. He now speaks out. Okay? And says what? What are you doing? What are you thinking? Will you slay a man because he says, my Lord is Allah? Indeed, he has brought to you clear arguments from your Lord. What more do you want? If the staff and the serpent on the day of the festival wasn't enough, seven calamities, one by one, he gave you temporary relief from the drought and from the hailstorm and from the beetles and from the frogs. What more do you want? How many more signs do you need? And he says, if he's a liar, it's on him his lie. He's the one that's going to be affected. But if he's truthful, if he's right, it's you that's going to have a problem. Look what he says. There will befall you some of that which he threatens you with. Surely Allah does not guide him who is extravagant and a liar. The last verse for tonight, again, verse number 29 of Surah Ghafir. O my people, yours is the kingdom this day, being masters in the land. But who will help us against the punishment of Allah if it comes to us? He tells to the people of Fir'aun who are watching this whole tamasha unfold, this whole show unfold, look, right now you have the kingdom. But if Allah's punishment comes down to us, what would happen if Musa didn't pray to Allah for the temporary relief of all of these different calamities? We would have been destroyed. Then Fir'aun says, I do not show you except but that which I see myself, and I do not make you follow any but the right way. Meaning that I'm not going to do this. Okay? I'm not going to do this. And that brings us to a point now where, again, Musa is now sent back to his people. Fir'aun has no idea what to do with him. The only thing he can do at this moment is spy on him. And then this is that window of opportunity for Musa to take his people and leave Egypt. And this journey now out of Egypt that includes the parting of the sea now begins. This is where it begins. Okay? Fir'aun's frustration is building. Fir'aun now ends up killing his wife, Asiya, right? One of the four great women in Islam. And now he begins, you know, this obsession now to somehow cling onto whatever he has left. That brings the end to our lecture of Nabi Musa. May Allah, Allah, we ask you to forgive our sins and to allow our families to stand beside the Imam when he comes, inshallah. Thank you very much. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Allahu Akbar, la ilaha illallah. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar.